The hall rose, thundering. How far they'd soared, these Bolsheviki, from a despised and hunted sect less than 4 months ago, to this supreme place, the helm of great Russia in full tide of insurrection. John Reed, 10 days that shook the world. The party, to anyone who wasn't in another party, and even to many who were, meant the Communist Party. To be a liberal, or even a Labourite, was usually a mere affiliation, and committed the member to as much or as little activity and support as they liked. To be a communist was different. A party member was described as card-carrying, the real thing as opposed to the mere fellow traveller or armchair revolutionary. It was a statement of fundamental being and moral seriousness. In this sense, it was religious. Like a post-communion Catholic, a communist really meant to try and live a life of faith. What guided communists in their great task was Marxism, or, as they thought of it, scientific socialism. Far from being just a belief or a desire, Marxism they understood to be a way of understanding human society and human history, a system for organising the world in your head. The philosophy of dialectical materialism was to the 20th century Marxist what the Quran was to the devout Muslim, the final word on how to comprehend life. And it was a tool, part magic, part science, like Doctor Who's sonic screwdriver, available to communists alone. The year I caught a glimpse of Gagarin, 1961, the Communist Party of Great Britain turned 41. Young adulthood in the life of a political party, its members old enough to have children who were old enough to be members. It had been founded in 1920, 3 years after the Bolshevik Revolution and 2 years after the end of the Great War, as a response to both. A unity convention of various small socialist and working class groups was held that summer in the Cannon Street Hotel, the architect E.M. Barrie's glorious adjunct to Cannon Street Station, to which T.S. Eliot's narrator in The Wasteland was invited for luncheon at around that time by a Mr. Eugenides, the Smyrna merchant, unshaven with a pocket full of currants. After a day at the doubtless rather bourgeois and expensive hotel, the delegates adjourned a mile or so northwest to a socialist hall not far from Old Street, which features in no poem I can find. The 80 men and a few women who gathered, members of the British Socialist Party, the Workers' Socialist Federation and the Socialist Labour Party, readers and writers of The Call, The International and the Workers' Dreadnought, Scottish ship workers and Welsh miners from the militant areas of the Clyde and Rhondda, anti-imperialists, conscientious objectors to the war, William Morris-type intellectuals, several suffragettes, were often courageous, invariably dedicated, and consequently isolated, agitating on the far political coast. Inland of them, there was the vast continental mass of the world's oldest and most sophisticated working-class party, the Labour Party, which had recently won 60 seats in Parliament and would surely soon put a worker's shoes on the portraited stairs inside No. 10 Downing Street. The budding communists thought that the Labour Party had become a reformist organisation, getting its men into positions of power where they would make capitalism more palatable rather than ushering in the new dawn of a completely different system called socialism. In their view, reformism had led to Labour figures collaborating in the deaths of millions of workers in the catastrophe of the First World War. The new communists believed that the alternative working-class power should be exercised through workers' councils, or Soviets as the Russians called them, where workers or their delegates would meet, debate and vote. And the Communist Party itself, as prescribed by Karl Marx in the Communist Manifesto and by Lenin in a series of works written both in exile and then in government, was to be the vanguard of the vanguard, the cleverest and most strategic section of the revolutionary class. The creme de la creme of the great seething pudding, the jutting jaw on the craggy face of the stone worker. A contingent among them simply wanted Labour to be destroyed. They wanted to make its compromise.